Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. This week is a bit of a downer. This week we are talking about the mini docuseries Quiet on Set, which is streaming on Max, which I'm sure many people know is kind of the dark side of Nickelodeon back in its heydays of the early 2000s. But before we get into that, we'll talk about some more uplifting stuff at the beginning. TV news. Jordan, what have you?
Well, they dropped the official trailers for House of the Dragon season 2, and it was really fun because they did a Team Black version and a Team Green version for like the Targaryens. Like if you're Team Rhaenyra, if you're a Rhaenyra truther versus an Alicent truther, basically, of who deserves to be on the crown. I mean, on the throne. And I thought that was really fun, even though I really don't know why you would be Team Green. I feel like you would have to just be a contrarian to be like, yes, they're the ones that deserve the crown. And it's really funny because the Black trailer, it started with a head start because it's the first one, and then the Green trailer is like a reply. But the Black trailer has 6.9 thousand favorites, and the Green one has 415 favorites. So I feel like everyone knows the right team to root for, I think.
That's wild. Well, and I only saw the Black trailer at first. I think they posted that one first, so I'm sure it just got more...
Totally.
Seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt like the Black trailer was way better than the Green trailer, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
But they were both good, and I'm really excited.
Cannot wait. Premieres June 16th. Finally a date.
Something sad is that Karen Pittman, who played Naya in And Just Like That, is not returning either. Which, like, she didn't really do much in the last season anyway, because she was filming the morning show simultaneously. But it's still kind of a bummer. And it's just like, what is this next season even going to be?
It really kind of seems like the second season finale should just be a series finale. And, you know, like, we're team And Just Like That. We enjoy it. But I don't know. Maybe the stories are told. Not that I think that Che and Naya are like, I think they can have storylines without them, but they left off on such a weird place, like the Aiden and Carrie of it all. I don't know.
Guess we'll see. It's always kind of been like a little bit of a train wreck we can't look away from anyway, so I guess what else is new?
Very good point. Very, very good point. Speaking of train wrecks you can't look away from, even though last week they said that Euphoria season 3 production had started, it is now delayed indefinitely because Sam Levinson, it says, has yet to finish the scripts, and the actors have been given permission to take other acting jobs in the meantime. So,
which is so stupid because I'm sure they had to work really hard to clear their schedules for right now
that
for
is
filming.
Such a good point.
Like, I can only imagine how far out, like, actors get booked and scheduled. So, like, I just, like, they're going to be 40 years old by the time they're back in production.
Like, literally. Filming. Literally. They're going to have to do, like, this the class reunion style Euphoria episode.
Yeah. A show I forgot that I enjoyed was Shrinking on Apple. And Brett Goldstein, who was already a co-creator of the show, is going to join the season 2 cast, which is fun. Love to see him on my screen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he plays a very, like, Roy Kent angry character, which is all I can picture. Or will he be, who knows, if maybe he'll be, like, happy or something. That would be shocking.
Truly.
I can't remember if I knew about this, but They dropped a poster for a new Hulu series starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone called Under the Bridge. And it's premiering April 17th. I'm not sure what it's about. It says it's based on shocking true events. And I will be watching. I like those two a lot.
Same. I'm excited. It's an interesting duo that I am excited to see.
Yeah, it feels straight out of a top three.
kind of thing. Truly. Netflix dropped a poster and some images of a new show titled Eric, which is starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Gabby Hoffman and McKinley Belcher III. Benedict looks good. I am a Benedict head.
A Cumberbitch, so, I thought they were called.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's exactly it. Apparently, it's a series. It's an emotional crime drama that follows the desperate search of a father when his 9-year-old son disappears one morning on the way to school. And it drops on May 30th. Sounds scary and sad.
Yeah, like, I can't say I'm excited to watch something about a missing child, but I'm intrigued.
I think my last piece of news is that there's a Peacock series with Matthew McFadden and Elizabeth Banks titled The Miniature Wife, which is quote, a high concept material dramedy examining the power imbalances between spouses who battle each other for supremacy after a technological accident induces the ultimate relationship crisis. I'm in. Sounds intriguing.
So she's like literally shrunk.
Shrunk?
I haven't seen anything about this. So I'm like, is she literally miniature?
Miniature. I was like, where did you get shrunk? And I forgot that that's literally
the title
of the show.
Well, because at first I was like, oh, they're battling. Wow, he just can't get enough of battling spouse characters. But then it's like technological something.
Accident and like power imbalances. So maybe she is.
The miniature wife.
Now I'm confused. That's funny. Honey, I shrunk my wife.
Yeah, literally. They should... If this isn't that, they should actually reboot Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or My Wife. And he should play the main character. He does great as a stressed out guy.
Yeah, he would be great. I support that.
My last piece is a nice little segue into our discussion on Quiet on Set, because they just announced today that Investigation Discovery, the studio that made the documentary, is doing a new fifth episode of the series that's going to be premiering on April 7th, and apparently has new footage, a couple new interviews, and like more of Drake Bell's interview as well.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting, and I guess we'll see what it is. I can't, it's hard for me to say like, oh, they didn't need this when I don't actually know what's in it, but it is a little bit odd. It seems like, but I guess that is the beauty of like living in a day and age where they can like literally put together another episode of something and put it out so quickly. Especially when you're dealing with like true and like, kind of hard things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is important to like have something that, make sure like you're telling the story you want to tell in full, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Especially stuff that happened pretty like so recently.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see how that fifth episode is. Since we're already talking about it, let's keep going with Quiet on Set, and then we can end on a slightly lighter note with our top three at the end. So stay tuned if you want to hear the childhood shows that shaped me and Jordan today. Okay, it's four episodes, and I felt like it was I felt like it was really timed out well. Like, I wasn't ever, like, bored or felt like it was, like, kind of dragging on. And I felt like there was enough content in each episode that it was, like, interesting throughout. It wasn't, like, a lot of kind of building information to, like, kind of get to this twist. Like, almost everything I felt like they talked about was wild.
That, yeah, I totally agree. I feel like each episode really had, like, multiple bombshells. And I feel like Drake Bell's interview is kind of like the centerpiece in the marketing kind of the documentary. But it's true. Like, each episode really was, like, compelling and horrifying in a lot of different ways that I didn't expect to. Like, it wasn't the type of docuseries where I felt like I had heard it all online before I watched it. And I do feel like, because some of the episodes, like, they don't feel very long. I feel like they didn't overstuff them like a lot of docuseries do, like, with filler content. And they kind of, each episode kind of ended, like, right where it needed to. So I thought, like, yeah, I'm with you. I think the pacing was really good.
Yeah, I agree. And I have seen a lot of, like, the bigger bombshells, like, on the internet in, like, stories and stuff, but there were still so many things. Like, one of the things that really stuck with me was, like, when they had two female writers splitting a salary. I was like, I have literally never heard of that in my life.
No,
that is wild.
I think too,
so stuff like that,
I feel like as a society and as a culture, we kind of are more well versed in how writers should be treated coming off of the writer's strike. And so seeing something like that, like, that's what people have gotten away with for their, like, treatment of their female writers, to just literally say two equal one male writer. It was like, that's the stage you're setting of how you're going to treat your female writers as well. And it was just, like, a horrifying work environment. And, like, things just keep escalating from there, but it's really very, like, that alone was disturbing.
And, like, my other main takeaway watching this was just something we've kind of already been talking about on this podcast, honestly, with, like, the rehearsal, which is, like, so funny that, like, the rehearsal really did make so many, like, poignant thoughts. Like, kids in Hollywood, like, kids acting is, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm like, do we need kids acting? I don't know. Like, it's so hard because I think, like these Nickelodeon shows shaped me and, like, I loved seeing myself on the TV. But, like, it's so wild to me that, like, so much of this stuff is happening. And, like, these kids need to be treated as kids and need to be doing things that they would be doing at their age in shows.
Yes. I think that's a really good point, because even if you take away the, like, the disturbing wrong, like, to say the least, treatment of the kids, like, even the kids who were not, like, assaulted and molested, like, even just your regular actors, the way that, like, oh, we had to work overtime, and, oh, I didn't want to complain because I didn't want to lose my job. It's like, you were, like, a 10-year-old thinking as an employee. Like, that alone is weird. And
like, a 10-year-old being responsible for their family's well-being, yes, because now they're the breadwinner of their family. Oh,
it's really freaky. So it's like, even if everything had been going right on the sets of these shows, like, that alone is sad and forcing these kids to grow up too fast. But then it's like, I think these kids were really talented also. Like, the part when, I think there's a part where Drake Bell, someone asks, like, oh, like, do you think kids should stay away from acting? Like, is this horrible for kids? And he's like, the thing is, when I was a little kid, I wanted to perform. Like, I loved this so much. Like, even when they're little, and it's like, we all knew kids that, like, love to pretend they're on stage, and it's like, it does bring them pure joy, but it's like, how do we, like, protect that and support that rather than exploit it.
Totally. Well, and the other example of that was when they were showing all of the early Amanda Bynes clips, yes, like her doing like stand up as a child. Like, I had never seen a lot of those. And it really was wild because you really could tell how talented she was and how comfortable she was in front of an audience. And like, that was what she was born to do. Mm-hmm. And so it only feels that much darker. And this honestly kind of leads into my cons of this show of like, there are a lot of big, big players in this Nickelodeon universe that I think are missing. And it only makes me like have more questions. Like, Ariana Grande, they showed a lot about her, but then there's not an actual statement from her or anything. And she probably does have like an NDA, but then I don't know if we should be like showing her stuff on like clips of her on the show. I think we could explain them because a lot of her clips are really good examples of things that probably should not have been aired that were.
Mm-hmm.
That it just made me feel a little bit iffy about. And then, yeah, the Amanda Bynes of it all. I know she said she didn't want to participate, but we see her TikToks now and see those videos, and I'm just like, what happened?
The Amanda Bynes of it all, but also every single one of these shows, it's like you said, like, I did watch the majority of these, and Amanda Bynes was kind of like a hero figure, being a couple years younger than her, of being like, she has her own show and she's weird on this show. She's hilarious. And obviously all of the like double entendres and like perverted references went way over my head because I was also a kid and I didn't get what was intentionally happening in the scripts and stuff. But like, it's really hard, I think, being a millennial, seeing these shows and how gross everything was behind the scenes, because like, mm-hmm, I recognized almost every kid actor that they talked to and were showing, because they were like heroes to us. And
totally,
it was, so that was really, I think, made this even more of a like personally upsetting watch. But doesn't make me, I think you should watch it. I think that if like you recognize these names and stuff, like, I do think you should watch it. And something unique about this documentary was that they like bleeped out swear words. And I feel like they actually, you see like court documents, so you do see like different actual acts that were like done to kids, but they never actually say them. So it's kind of like oddly tame for such a dark documentary, if that makes sense.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that does make sense. I didn't even notice that. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm glad I watched it. It definitely made me think about, like, and this is something I kind of have been thinking about a lot recently anyway, is just like, you truly never know what's going on behind the scenes, and like holding people to like a really high standard is damaging.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, the power of, like, speak up, because it's probably not only happening to you.
Yes, totally. It broke my heart.
It really did.
It was really upsetting.
I think some of the parts that were most devastating to me were the actually good adults being heartbroken when, like, I don't know, even just, like, on... It was still really sad, but it wasn't, like, in the scale, on the spectrum that's shown in the documentary, didn't get into, like, truly scary levels. But the boy whose relationship with his mom was totally severed because she would advocate for him and speak up for him on set, and as a result, he got fired because they didn't want to work with a mom that was so present on the set of all that. And they were both in tears, just, like, as a kid, I thought she ruined my life, and she's like, I was just looking out for my son. It was so sad.
So sad. Yeah. Jordan mentioned this to me earlier, but it totally would like made me think about like your parents and like when you're younger, you think they're just being so mean by like not letting you do things or watch things, but it's like, actually they're protecting you or trying to protect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you don't know. Like, you're literally a kid.
No, you think you do.
Yeah, you're, like, you're 9. And, like, if my parents had seen some of the scenes that they showed from these Nick shows, they would probably be like, huh? Like, that's a red flag. Like, they probably wouldn't have let us watch Nickelodeon. But because it's Nickelodeon, yeah, it's supposed to be, like, safe for kids. It's kids' TV. But I was pretty shocked. I was, like... As now an adult, I was like, oh my goodness, this is so offensive. This is not good. This is not okay for kids to watch. It was very shocking.
I wonder what shows are like now.
Like,
I don't know anything about any current Nickelodeon, like, teen type of shows. Teen, tween shows.
Literally, I don't even know if they have them. I, like, feel like I only see...
I have no idea.
It's like, I know SpongeBob is still on. Glad SpongeBob didn't get in any trouble on this. This wasn't... None of the cartoons, which I also... I feel like I maybe even watched the cartoons a little bit more than some of the live-action shows, but it was all... Dan Schneider didn't do any cartoons, so those aren't tainted.
That's good. Hopefully that's not season 2.
Yeah, oh, I hope not. Oh, I'm so jaded now, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
I know. Okay, now that we talked about all of that really sad stuff, one good thing that came out of this show and watching this show was just, like, the nostalgia and, like, so many of those shows just, like, shaped me and every time they showed, like, a scene, especially from, like, All That or The Amanda Show, it was just, like, oh, my heart. I wish I could go back and live in that glory days of, like, watching TV. So for our top 3, these are the shows that shaped us into who we are today.
Kind of hard to narrow down, actually, because, like, I've always watched a lot of TV my whole life.
Same.
This is why we have a podcast now, actually.
Yeah, literally. I have 7 on my list, so we'll see what I choose.
I'm obsessed with that. I can't wait to hear them all. I did narrow it down to only 3 because I was doing this in the last possible second, but there's a lot floating around up here in this head of mine.
I'm sure there is. Okay, you go first.
Okay. Well, for a big part of my childhood, we were a PBS family. We didn't have cable yet, so this is one of the first TV shows, like, non Sesame Street style TV shows I remember, but it was Ghost Rider on PBS, and this was, I don't know, I was pretty young to even watch this because I think they were, like, middle school kids and I was, like, in, like, kindergarten, first grade, but it really got me. I think that is one of the reasons why I love, like, mystery genre now, because mm-hmm. it's like these kids would be solving these mysteries all throughout the city, and Ghost Rider was, like, this entity that would give them clues, but he can only use letters that are, like, in the room with them, and he could, like, pull letters off to spell clues and they would have to figure it out, and it was very good.
I love that. While you were talking about it, I had to, like, Google it, and I kind of remember it, but I also, it looks like it was started the year I was born. So I'm sure I saw some, like, what are they called? Reruns.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Wow. Remember reruns?
Wow, that's crazy that word left my brain.
Well, I mean, it's been a long time. Something could be considered a rerun. I don't watch reruns on live TV anymore.
No.
The next one I thought of is a Nickelodeon cartoon. It was Doug. Loved Doug.
Oh, Doug. I haven't seen or thought. Weren't they going to remake that? That kind of sounds familiar to me.
I don't know. Even though I love Doug, I'm like, just make new cartoons, you know?
Yeah, please. Leave the old ones please, pure. Please.
But yeah, I loved Doug. And my number one is Arthur. Arthur, iconic.
Arthur's on my list too.
Yeah. It was just, like, legitimately funny. Like, our parents would like to watch it with us, and they would be cracking up, too. That's how you know a show was good when you were a kid. And it's just, it's, like, it's so formative. It's the best. And me and all my siblings, like, all, we, our ages span, like, my youngest sister's 9 years younger than me, and we all loved Arthur. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I remember, like, I knew exactly when it was on. I would, like, run home from school to watch it so I wouldn't miss it. And, yeah, it was just, like, very formative. Okay. Mine are out of the box. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yes, but iconic. And now the theme song just, like, stuck crafts in my head already.
Yeah, like, I'm not even gonna sing it. I'm just gonna let all of you think it. Also, along with that, another PBS show. PBS was important, and I feel like is that are there still shows on that kids are watching? I don't even know.
I think that there are. Or is there like
too much Bluey and stuff?
I think there are, but I do think Disney Plus has revolutionized kids' TV because parents can put it on
at
any time rather than have to wait for that precious like 2 hours of kids TV programming.
Zoom.
Oh, I loved Zoom. Oh my gosh.
I loved Zoom.
Wow.
Loved Zoom. I think I've also talked about this show on the podcast before because I like know their special language that they would talk in.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I just loved it. I thought those kids were so cool. My third one is As Told by Ginger. It was like another cartoon that was like a cool teen type of cartoon that like I felt like I it would like helped me age out of like cartoons but made me feel like I was still like watching something that was a little bit not risque but like a little older.
It was a little more grown up for sure because they were like
the
Ginger and her friends, I can't remember if they were in like ninth grade or seventh or sixth or something, but like they were like kind of puberty age. And like the drama stuff was like friends and school and boys. Like that was for sure a little bit of an older cartoon. That one was good.
Yeah. Which I've always loved things that made me feel older. So
yeah.
It was a perfect show for me.
Totally. I can totally see that. That's such a good answer. Do you know that I actually get served up random clips from As Told by Ginger on my TikTok? I got one like this morning.
Oh my gosh, you should send them to me.
Yeah, I should.
I want to see them because I don't get them.
So I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like fresh in my mind. So.
Well, it's having a resurgence like Girls.
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
That is hilarious. Well, it kind of was like, it's like Girls for Kids, sort of, the way that it was.
Yeah. It's true.
Because wasn't, that's actually kind of a unique cartoon because it was kind of more drama than like, it wasn't that funny.
No.
It was like just like it was like a CW show if it was like fully kid appropriate and it was a cartoon. It's kind of revolutionary, I think.
It's probably where my like dark, my preference of dark shows started.
I really like, these are really good, actually formative shows. For real. Wow.
Okay, but now that we're adults and we can have crushes, who's your crush of the week?
Oh my gosh. Okay, my crush this week, I have to give it up to my current favorite person on reality TV is Safira Cristal on Drag Race.
She's amazing.
She's just so great. Both, like, the drag performances are just, like, sorry, they're on a different level than the competitors, you know? Like, she's just, like, calm, cool, and collected and is able to be, that allows her to be, like, funnier and just confident in her performance. And you can just tell, like, she's a seasoned professional compared to other people that are fresher, even though they're also good. And also, like, I just can't help but root harder for the ones that also have a good personality themselves and are funny but nice, too. And so, yeah, I'm obsessed with her right now.
Great answer. She's so consistent too. So it's just like you can always count on her.
Yeah, you don't have to get like nervous and worry that she's going to completely choke.
Yeah. We're glad she's on this season because I don't know what we would do without her.
It's been a rocky ride. But yeah, she's shining.
My crush is Rami Youssef. I watched his new special on HBO, I mean Max. And it's called More Feelings. It was so good. I just love him. And everything I see that he's in, I'm always like, it's always so weird how much I relate to him. That like, he should not be a person I relate to. And I'm sure we've said that a million times when we're like talking about his show. But I just love the way that he is able to like talk about very serious and like important topics while also just being the most charming and hilarious person ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's an art. Stand-up comedy is truly wild. I don't know how people do it. It's true. I'm like, how did we get from this story to this story to this story so seamlessly without, like, it's wild.
Mm-hmm. It's so impressive because it's all very scripted and rehearsed, but the way they deliver it feels like they're just thinking of it off the cuff. And, like, that's,
yes.
It's very practiced and part of making it work is seeming like it's not. It's just like, it's very difficult art form. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize his was out already. Yeah, I want to watch it.
I didn't really either. And then my sister's been, she's been having a Rami renaissance. Or is it a renaissance if like you just kind of discovered him? I don't know. But so I was glad she had, it was because it came out like on a Sunday, maybe. I think it was Sunday night. So anyway, it's out. Go watch it.
Amazing.
All right, well, there you have it. We will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.